Hey guys, and welcome to the Three Drinks In podcast, episode number 125. In this episode, we are waiting for Mr. Dolph Lundgren, or Lundgren, to show up and talk about the movie Creed 2. Before all that, though, I want to remind you that Three Drinks In is available on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio. Just search for Three Drinks In podcast. You'll easily find us. Click subscribe, tell your friends, leave a review. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Three Drinks In Pod. That's at the number 3 Drinks In Pod. Like us on Facebook and email us at threedrinksinpodcast@gmail.com. I'm your host, Vince. Vince, over there is Phil.
Hey.
There's Phil. Okay, here we go.
In comes Ivan Drago.
Drago is the kind of embodiment of the Soviet Union. Half machine, and you wonder if he has a soul in there somewhere. And Apollo Creed is the embodiment of America.
Now, I've followed boxing and dance for 23 years. Apollo Creed was in dance shape, not boxing shape.
Creed is clearly exhausted by the dance number he did with James Brown 5 minutes earlier. And before the second round is over, that's it.
Has the fight date been set yet?
December 25th. It's in Russia.
I interviewed Rocky about that time, in 84. He was retired. He just wanted to spend time at home with his family and his robot, like a normal guy.
Balboa versus Drago was the second biggest TV event of the decade.
Did Jackie like the movie?
Yeah. She liked it, Michael B. Jordan shirtless most of the time, so.
Yeah, that's a lot of skinless chicken right there, is what that is.
She liked that part.
What's that?
So, she liked that part.
Yeah, who wouldn't? I mean, I didn't care that much, but.
Yeah, no, I didn't care.
So when did Rocky come out? Like the first Rocky?
Oh, 1976.
1976. 86, 96, 106. It's 41 years later, and he's still playing the same character.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Well, yeah. He's really good at it.
Yeah. And like, it's one of those things where, like, okay, so they made Rocky, and I actually think that Rocky is, like, it's not a perfect movie because there are parts in the beginning where it sort of drags a lot, but it's the best movie you could make about boxing, you know, with boxing as your sort of setting. You know, I think that's just about as good as it gets, especially the ending. You know, you're just not going to beat that. And then they went on to make these just really kind of mediocre popcorn flicks that didn't have a lot of depth, or, you know, they weren't devoid of interesting people or performances, but it just wasn't the same, you know. It was, you know, but they kind of leaned into it then and just kept churning them out. And it's come to a point where we're kind of like numb to it, really, you know, like, oh, we're still doing this after all these years. So, that doesn't really speak to the individual goodness or badness of any of the movies. It's just like, it sort of doesn't matter anymore. It's just like, the bar is kind of low, and they're still fun to watch, and they're well produced, and there's just so many of them. You just kind of expect another one to come out at some point. Mm-hmm. You know, and if we can dig up a bastard child of a guy from the first three movies and make another set of movies about them, what's to say you couldn't do the same thing again with a whole other character we haven't met yet?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, sports movies always have the same kind of arc. You're a loser and then you win.
Yeah.
And Rocky just happened to do it the best at the time. It became really iconic.
Yeah. I mean, the only other movie about boxing that I really liked, and you, I'm sure you didn't like it much at all, was The was it The Fighter with Mark Wahlberg?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're like, I'm not a big David O. Russell fan, but you loathe David O. Russell.
Yeah, I really didn't like that film.
Yeah, like I just thought that Christian Bale in it was so good. And the premise was kind of interesting, and it was that there are people in the less fashionable parts of Massachusetts who behaved like that, so it wasn't like it was ridiculous. But there was sort of no way to avoid, like one of the most interesting things about that movie was the fact that he thought the Christian Bale character, who was a drug addict, like a serious crackhead, he thought that HBO was there making a movie about him, about his like return to boxing and everything, and they weren't. They like, and that's what kind of makes the movie kind of weird. Is like the first half of the movie is you're watching him with his film crew, and you know, at the same time there's also the story with the younger brother training how to box, and you know, it's sort of disjointed, and then all of a sudden it comes together when you realize that they're really making a movie about crack addiction. And you know, he has that epiphany while he's in prison watching it on HBO in prison, and like they start a near riot because he realizes all of a sudden, wait a minute, we weren't talking about my boxing career the whole time, and that's how high he was for the entire thing. So that part of the movie was interesting, but it eventually just devolves into a very generic boxing movie by the last 20 minutes, half an hour, because there has to be a boxing match at the end of the movie, you know. And, you know, they go through it and the guy wins and everyone's a champion and that's the end of it. It's like, okay, but like you can't not do that. Like Rocky did that already, you know, and they copied it in Creed 2. I'm sorry, in Creed 1 rather. But like, you know, they can kind of do that because it's part of the Rocky franchise. So it really didn't seem to bother anybody.
Yeah, well, imagine watching the Mighty Ducks and not watching a hockey game at the end.
Exactly, you know.
that's what it's about. Yeah. It's about them learning about themselves through sports.
Although The Fighter does have one of the better lines I've ever heard in a movie, where they're trying to get Mark Wahlberg into the ring in the beginning of the movie. You know, they were supposed to be fighting this guy. It turns out he's not available, so they have to get the other guy. But don't worry, he just got off the couch. He's not in shape. He'll be fine. And then they get there, and this guy's enormous. And he's totally jacked. And he goes, just got off the couch. I'd like to get a couch like that. And he does it in his total deadpan. That's just fantastic.
If you don't do a sports movie with the sport at the end, you get Million Dollar Baby. And nobody wants to watch that again.
You know, and I didn't...
That's ultimately not about sports. It's about her.
Right.
Yeah. Whereas these movies are about the sport and the people who happen to be playing them.
That movie is just about the best movie I've seen with absolutely zero rewatchability. Like, you just can't put yourself through that again. It's, first of all, you know what happens, and so that's sort of... takes some of the interest out of it, which is not to say that in other movies you don't, but it's such a giant twist in that all the advertising for the movie, all the setup, I mean, they made sure that no one knew what was going to happen. And then literally halfway through the movie, the whole thing, I'm not going to spoil it, but like the whole thing changes.
You can spoil it now. It's been a few years.
I guess so, yeah. But like then you're watching her, you know, in the hospital and watching him and her family and all the crazy stuff she does. She eats her own tongue. Like, it's... Oh, man.
Yeah, it's awful.
It's just... Yeah, and it's not necessarily... It's not bad. It's just like, I can't watch that again. It's like trying to watch Saving Private Ryan again.
But
Schindler's List.
It's kind of bad and awful because it's a complete betrayal of what you're sitting there to watch. You know? Like, if I'm here at home watching puppy videos on YouTube and I'm watching the puppies play and dance, and next thing you know, they splice in videotapes of people slicing eyeballs. I'm not going to be happy about that. Ooh. Yeah, that's the face everyone makes. Ooh. So like, even when I was watching this, I'm like, this is some kind of movie. And like, it was already a big enough twist that she was a lady boxer. And the next thing you know, her head hits that stool and you're like, wait, what the hell is this? And like, I sat there going like, I'm not happy with this, Clint. This is not cool. I don't want to watch this kind of thing. This is not what I thought I was getting into.
I guess that doesn't bother me quite so much. Like, it can bother me, but it often doesn't. Like, I just kind of go along with the flow. I'm on the journey with the film, and then, you know, what bothers me the most, speaking of David O. Russell, are films like American Hustler, where either through I'm an idiot or it's bad storytelling or a combination of the two things, I thought I'm watching people do a long con, like in a lot of movies about con people. Is that, you know, we've talked about this a lot, I think, in movies of the genre, but like when you think you're watching one thing, but in the back of your mind, you know, there's something I'm not seeing and that they're going to reveal at the end and it'll be a fun little twist like in Ocean's 11 or whatever. But in that movie, you're just not watching a long con. You're watching what is being put in front of you, and that's only. So I'm expecting them to do something grand at the end to be like, see, this is really what's going on. And they never really do that. You know, and they kind of ham-fist one something like that at the end and screw over the Bradley Cooper character, and then they get away with it, kind of.
Yeah, and that's okay because it's a con movie and not a drama.
Well,
like if you're watching something really heavy.
But that's the thing. It was a drama. It had comedic elements to it, but it was a drama masquerading as a con movie. So right. I was taken along on the journey with Hilary Swank's character because, like, I was, holy shit, I didn't expect that. And then now we're watching it, basically a different movie altogether.
Well, that's what I mean.
And that doesn't bother me if it's good and if it's interesting. It's not what I expect, and it's parts of it are difficult, but it's not necessarily bad. It's just a twist, and it's an unusual one to come earlier in the film, and it changes the tenor of the story from a, you know, sports, you know, triumphalist movie to something far more depressing. But yes. if
you're that, the one who complains the most about being misled by marketing. And talk about misleading there.
Well,
but whatever. I'm
trying to think of an example where I complained about that, where it made sense for me to complain about that. I forgot.
Yeah.
But no.
So what did you think of Creed 2?
Oh, hey, Creed 2, everybody. He says 10 minutes in. I mean, it's. It made me appreciate Creed 1 a lot more than I did. Like, I don't know. I saw Creed 1 with my wife, and I don't think she was that into it. And I have this thing where if I'm with somebody who's not enjoying a movie at all, and I kind of know that as I'm sitting there, and then I begin to go, well, what don't they like about it? And I begin to sort of analyze the flaws that maybe I would have glossed over, or I ignore some of the things about it that are really good. So, like, I went back and I watched the boxing scenes from Creed. And with the exception of the last one, they're fantastic. You know, so there's the one in the beginning where he's fighting in Tijuana. There's the one where he gets his ass handed to him and he loses his car, which is the beginning of this movie. And then there's the one where Rocky's been training him, and it's all shot in like one long take, mm-hmm. which might be, if not the best, certainly the most accurate representation of boxing on film ever, as like fictional boxing. Because what you get in like all the original Rocky movies except for the first one, and you get in this movie in spades, is like dramatic boxing scenes where like it's literally, you can imagine the Foley guys carting their sound equipment into a meat locker and a couple of guys with like those, you know, those big wiffle ball bats, like the red ones, like smacking them against the side of beef, and like they're recording all these sounds, this thwacking noises as the punches start flying. That middle fight in the first Creed, there's none of that. It just looks like real boxing. There's real quick jabs. There's real hits. It doesn't sound like somebody's slapping a piece of steak against the wall. Like it's much more realistic. And the way it was shot was far more clever than the movie as a whole. And I don't know, it was visually much more arresting to watch. And so I didn't appreciate some of the visual choices made in the first Creed movie. And this made me do that. And also the complexity of the story and how it was sort of more interesting, much more like Rocky I was Creed I. You know, kind of, they had a lot in common. Because this movie was very just sort of formulaic and, you know, lacking in a lot of depth, and it had some interesting bits, and so it's kind of scratches my head at certain points, but I didn't love it. Like when people were cheering at the end in the theater I was in, I kind of wanted to turn around and go, really? Are you serious? Like, but I didn't. And they were very excited at the end of this movie. I'm like, guys, this was okay. But like basically the movie is, he gets taunted into fighting a guy the size of a garbage truck. He loses badly because he doesn't train properly, even though you watched him training with the black guy from The Wire. You know, it wasn't like he was, you know, it wasn't like he was the, you know, the dancing scene in Rocky III, where Apollo's kind of like, whatever, no big deal. He took it seriously, and then he loses badly, and then I kind of sat there going, oh, he's going to fight him and lose and then just get taunted to doing it again. And sort of nothing motivated him to fight the guy again. He got disqualified. The other guy did, young Drago. And then, like, he had no reason to do it. And the Drago character, definitely he had all the motivation in the world for doing it. And you're kind of looking at Creed and going, why would you? You just had a baby. This guy almost killed you. Why would you put yourself through? Like, what the hell is wrong with you? Yeah, you got to defend this or whatever. But like, he's got 50 pounds on you. They're going on and on about like how big this guy is because he's enormous. He was a head taller than him. It kind of makes you wonder, like, would these two guys even be fighting in the same weight class?
Well, you know, Rocky, Sylvester Stallone was also a big guy, and so was Carl Weathers. Michael B. Jordan is not that big. So they're like, he's the heavyweight champion of the world. I'm like, bullshit. He's not that big. He's like a light heavyweight or something.
Yeah, I Googled it, and for the World Boxing Association, which is the organization in the film that cause there's more than one. Boxing is a very corrupt and very sort of fragmented sport. And so Michael B. Jordan is 5'11", according to Google. Now, that being said, that's almost assuredly false because that's what actors do. They inflate their heights all the time. Sylvester Stallone is notorious for this. Because he's maybe 5'9", I think. But everyone, you know, you'd see him on TV, you swear to God he was 10 feet tall. And I don't know if we talked about William Goldman recently, but like the guy that just passed away that wrote the Princess Bride, he was very tall. He was like 6'2". And there's a thing in one of his books where he talks about the fact that all these stars, Robert Redford and all these guys, they all inflate their heights. And he was at a pool one time and someone said, hey, Sly Stallone's over there. And he just ran over and like jumped in the pool just so he could stand next to Sly Stallone and see how much taller than him he was. Because it's just one of those things that he thought was really funny. This guy would lie about his height all the time. So I'm willing to bet that maybe he's 5'10". And they talked about how much weight he gained for this movie in terms of muscle, and so it's somewhere between 175 and, I don't know, but like 175 is the cutoff for heavyweight. But there's no ceiling, I don't think. Because there's no bigger weight class. So if he was 5'10 at 175, I believe that. But the other guy was 6'3" and like easily 230 pounds. Mm-hmm. He was massive. And they kind of kept going, this is not a good idea. You know? And interestingly, this kind of harkens back to something in Rocky III, where Clubber Lang comes out of nowhere at the press conference and taunts him and says, you know, you didn't fight any real fighters. You fought these chumps. I'm not a chump, and you fight me and you can prove it. And he comes in. And then Rocky goes to Mick and says, hey, is this true? And Mick's like, yeah. He makes up an excuse, but he basically says, like, we found you people to beat. And the same thing was true in this movie. They found people that he could beat, that he would become the champ. And then out of nowhere comes this guy who is not somebody he can beat. And so I don't know, like that, all that wrapped up in the motivation for the second fight was kind of like, he's no reason to be here. You know, the most interesting stuff was the stuff with like his family, you know, and that wasn't even that interesting. It was just more interesting than, you know, watching him train in montages. So anyway.
Yeah. Take a breath. yeah. Why was this movie not called Drago?
Wouldn't that have been better?
Yeah, because so in the mirror universe version of this movie, that maybe once I finish building my time portal, I'll be able to transfer over there and find out what it was like. This movie is about the young Drago guy who is carrying the guilt and the burden of redeeming his father and his country. And he trains like a mother, and he's constantly trying to get better. And when he realizes that his father cheated in the first time that he fought Rocky, and his father encourages him to cheat again so that they can finally bring back honor to Mother Russia, the son realizes he would rather lose honorably than do that. And he goes down to Creed, or wins, perhaps. And then the movie ends. And that probably would have been a lot better than anything else that we just watched. I thought this movie sucked. I thought it was boring as hell. I could have wrote that script with my eyes closed. Okay. He was boring. His wife was a nothing. The baby was a nothing. His mother was nothing.
Oh, the baby was... The babies are always cute. She can't hear. And that's sad.
Boo-hoo. Who cares? We've all got problems.
You're deaf. Deal with it.
Yeah, you got eyes, don't you? And worst of all, Rocky, he's done this before. He's the funny, old, out of touch, not very bright, wise old sage. Well, in this one, he's just a wise old sage. That's boring. I don't think he made a joke the whole movie. I was like, wow, Sylvester Stallone is very, very good in this role. Is he ever going to do more than just spout platitudes to this guy?
Yeah. Oh, God. That was...
Every time he was on screen, I was like, dude.
Yeah, I want you to look in the mirror and see that's your toughest opponent right there. What?
Like, I've heard all those things. We've had 7 of those movies already. I don't need to hear that anymore. So the whole movie, I was just like waiting for the next scene and then waiting for that one after that. Because you just knew what was happening.
Yeah, this wasn't really any good at all.
So I was like, and you're right. In the first Creed, at least the boxing was very stylized and interesting.
It's different.
It wasn't.
No, the fights were terrible.
Well, they were terrible, but they just looked like regular boxing fights. Like it looked like an HBO special. So I was like, right. I mean, this guy's gigantic. And there were many times where I kept going, oh, like I couldn't get over the size. I felt like Warner Wolf in Rocky IV. I can't get over the size of this Russian. Like, he's just so huge. But at the same time, where was the style? You can put the camera at his eye level and make it look like Michael B. Jordan is even shorter so that you get the sense of, like, being afraid of this guy. You know, you have to sort of manipulate the camera to sort of give the effect that you want to give. But the camera was at eye level, like in between them, and it was always at least a few feet away. So there wasn't any zooming, there wasn't any panning. It was just, here's two guys and they're punching each other. You know, I was like, okay, I know how this is going to go.
Yeah.
Creed is going to win. I was very disappointed at how generic it all felt.
It was very, just like, very formulaic. And then there were weird things about it, too. Like, first of all, they kept talking about Russia this and Russia that. But in the beginning of the movie, like, the first scene of the movie is actually with the Dragos.
Right.
And they're in the Ukraine.
Yeah, because they've been in self-imposed exile.
Is that what it was? Did I miss a line there about that? Because that's not Russia, believe it or not. Despite what some people on the Crimean Peninsula would have you believe.
You know, it's that he's been so disgraced that he couldn't find work, even though Russia is enormous, and and he left, especially after the wife left them, and that's why they live there.
Okay. So, other questions I had. First of all, where did they dig up Brigitte Nielsen from? For Christ's sakes, she looked terrible.
Met her on ice.
Gonna start the thawing process. That, what a weird dinner scene that was, by the way. Did you find that to be strange too? That was like the worst part of the Drago story. Like, I thought the other times they were on screen was pretty good, especially like when he goes to the restaurant in Philadelphia.
No, I thought it was fine. What
was the wife doing there? Is she married to the other guy now?
She's still high up in terms of like the way the sports world works. Like, she still has pull.
She's like a weird Russian boxing oligarch.
Well, yeah. And so, like, they're there to help promote the fight, and the father is trying to get into their good graces and impress her. Mm-hmm. And it was saved because the son is the one who gets up and is like, this is all bullshit. I don't even care about these people. Like, I fight for me and you. Like, it's you and me, not her.
Yeah.
It was nice.
Right. They had the most interesting stuff in the movie. I just thought it was, I didn't understand the relationships that she's like, she was his ex-wife in Rocky IV. Either I missed it or it wasn't explained. The kind of connection that she has to them now, and why she'd be at that really awkward Thanksgiving dinner they had, where he gets a pair of shorts, and it's just like his reaction is appropriate, you know, like right. You know, it's totally makes total yeah. sense.
Now that you're almost useful again, we like you.
Yeah,
and he's like, that's a lot of crap. So
yeah. What was the other thing? So I found the announcers really annoying. Did you? Like, that's one of the things that drove me nuts was that, and this didn't, that I recall, certainly not in the first three fights of Creed, but like they used the announcer to do what they didn't bother to do with film, which is to tell you what's happening. Mm-hmm. And like, as these movies get worse since 1976, there's just more talking. You know, they explain to you, oh, he's really hurt. Oh, you can't show me that. Like, it's just a classic example of telling and not showing. And there was so much banter by that one ESPN guy whose voice is now like nails on a chalkboard to me that I was just like, there's got to be a reason they're not showing you any of this. They just have no confidence the audience can follow along, or they just didn't film it that well. Like, what exactly? It was bad.
Yeah, well, they're there to like make it more dramatic, but it's just really cheesy.
Yeah. And like the one thing I didn't get was this, like, so like I said, like, there's what exactly was different between the first fight and the second fight in terms of how he could win? Like the desert training session montage. Was that just a lot harder and took place in the desert for no reason?
I'm not quite sure myself. And like Jackie was watching it, because I haven't asked her. I was like, in the first fight, he gets his butt kicked because he's not a hungry fighter anymore. And he feels the need to sort of prove himself, even though he's now the champion. And in the second one, it's not exactly clear. Like, he has to defend the title, because if he doesn't fight anybody, eventually he has to give it up. And people are like, well, the only one worth fighting is Drago. He's just so gigantic, and he's calling you out. And he and Rocky have a talk in front of all of Apollo's numerous trophies. I mean, and he was like, and Michael B. Jordan says, this stuff isn't important. It's just that I had no reason to go out and box. And Rocky's like, now you got a reason. And then they start training. And I'm sitting here going, and that reason is? Like, I'm like waiting for it. I think it's because, like, he has to do it for himself because he loves it. Like, if I don't go out there and do what I do, then what am I doing? And I'm like, you're getting your ass kicked. That's what you're doing. Like, I don't understand. And it was a little muddled.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, young Drago actually had a reason to fight. You know, that was at least interesting.
Ugh, that would have been a good movie.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that's annoying. Yeah, this movie stunk.
It didn't sting. It was just, it was so predictable, and all the throwbacks to the old movies were so unnecessary because the actual structure of the film was so similar anyway.
Yeah, it was really not much to it. Although, Rocky doesn't fight Drago more than once, right? Just the one time in Russia.
Yeah, just the one time.
Yeah. Okay. So that's, I guess it's similar.
I mean, even Jackie pointed out too, like, Drago killed his father in the ring and Rocky didn't stop the fight. But, like, the son has nothing to do with that. You know, you're like, why am I mad at the son and this guy? I mean, he killed him, yes, but it was during a boxing match. He didn't assassinate the guy. You know?
Yeah.
So even that whole, like, there's no revenge angle, but there's sort of a revenge angle. Like,
well,
and Jackie goes, what if that guy didn't grow up to be a boxer? Like, what if he liked trout fishing or something? That's all very convenient.
See, that's the movie we should watch. Is like, so it opens up on like a river,
yeah,
somewhere in like, you know, the like Georgia, but the Georgia in Europe, yeah. And like, you know, there's you know a young Victor Drago fly fishing, and then across the pond, you know, all the way in Montana is a young skinny. You know, Adonis Johnson, which is his actual name.
And like, the young Drago has just, like, a bamboo pole. And, like, Adonis has a really nice fishing rod.
I would totally watch that. Yeah. Angler.
Angler. So the whole thing was very convenient.
Yeah, it really... I mean, part of the reason I really didn't like this movie is I don't like Michael B. Jordan as an actor. People keep talking about him being charming and engaging, and I'm sort of scratching my head. I'm like, are we talking about the same person? He's not charming. He's not engaging. He's a wooden robot. He just is black, and he just exudes blackness, like that kind of like stereotypical street, not talking, but like his affectations of young African American male. You know, it's just, I don't know.
I've never seen him in anything but that.
Well, like, he was the same in Black Panther.
Yeah, and he was the same in Fantastic Four.
Was it? I didn't see that.
Like the same guy in everything.
Yeah, I mean, so we generally consider that to be someone who is extremely untalented. There are plenty of people who get by on that. Robert Redford, chief among them, didn't play anything other than Robert Redford for 50 years. And he is good because he is charming to a fault. But this guy is not. It's just the same wooden, you know, street tough nonsense that, I mean, that's why when in Black Panther, when Martin Freeman is explaining who Killmonger is, like nothing he says makes any sense, both in terms of reconciling this description of the character with the person you've already seen on screen and the fact that he says that he graduated from the U.S. Naval Academy at 19, which is just, that's not how it works, Martin. So, but like, this does not strike me as somebody who's a genius, you know, and also happens to be incredibly gifted as a murderous lunatic. You know, he doesn't come across like any of that. He comes across like, you know, anybody from The Wire, which I think he was in.
He was in The Wire.
Yeah. He was a kid, and so was the guy that played his trainer. Mm-hmm. I can't think of his name right now, but he played the main bad guy in The Wire. Mm-hmm. Which you still have to see, by the way. But yeah, so like I don't think he's talented at all. I think he's actually quite bland, and it comes across as such here. Like, he's handsome and he's in phenomenal shape. You know, he a lot of low weight, high rep, but and apparently lifting things with your neck is a big thing now in the desert.
Was that where they were, the desert?
Maybe, like. It was this weird ghost town or like shanty town set up for what do you say, for fighters who've lost their way or were like
yeah, they're looking to return to their glory or something.
Like, what the hell was he talking about? I mean, there was literally nowhere else to go. If you think about it, this guy could either train in Philadelphia at a pretty shitty gym or in Los Angeles at a very fancy gym. Or in Russia, like, I guess that they were just trying to mimic that. In Russia, he goes and trains by himself and starts throwing logs around and doing all kinds of things to get himself in shape. And here he has to go to the opposite of that. He has to go to the desert. But, like, they built this weird community of people who are living out there. Where do they go to the bathroom?
Yeah.
I have all these questions about the logistics of this insane, you know, athletic shanty town you've decided to build in the middle of the Mojave. So,
yeah, I those throwbacks were so odd.
Yeah, you know,
and distracting. Even my wife was like, "Why is his girlfriend dressed like Talia Shire in this scene?" The first time he gets beaten.
Oh,
up.
That's right. She did look like Talia. I didn't even catch that.
She was like wearing the beret, and she had the button-up shirt with the pin for the top, for the collar, and like the flannel. I was like, why is she wearing that?
Yeah, she had a very interesting style of dress.
But she dressed like a regular person and everything else.
For the most part, yeah.
She was totally useless in this movie.
Yeah, she served the purpose in the other one because he didn't know anybody and he was just.
She had her own life.
Yeah.
You know, and in this one, she's just there for him. And she has like a recording deal and she sings and all that, but like, you don't see it. Like, the mother asks her about it. She goes, "Oh, it's going well. I got signed and I have to go out for a little while and I'll be back." And just like, the minute she walks back in, she just starts asking him about fighting.
Yeah.
So, like, she had her own personality and her own storyline. You know, I'm a musician who's going deaf, and she's still going deaf, but, you know, not that quickly, and she's still managing to get everything she wants to do done. So,
she's still being remarkably successful.
Right. Like, yeah. You could have had a whole thing with her about, like, whether or not she is being successful because she's now the girlfriend of someone who's successful.
Yeah.
You know, she used to be nobody, but. I did like that ever since Rocky VI, Rocky Balboa.
Yeah.
You know, the movies are far more grounded than they used to be. You know, it doesn't sound like he's knocking down tree trunks when he hits a person, yes. But also, like, he's famous for a boxer. He's not in a giant mansion. You know, he's rich, but he's not wealthy. Because you wouldn't be.
Yeah.
You know, like, I appreciated that in this one, after becoming heavyweight champion, you know, he doesn't have a robot butler. So, like, they can afford a place in Los Angeles.
A really nice one, I should point out.
Like, it's really nice, but it's also not like his mother's ridiculous house.
Yeah.
You know, it's a bit more realistic.
Yeah, no, he's definitely, yeah, they, and I don't know, maybe that's how kind of how things, I mean, boxing used to be the most popular sport in America.
Yeah, but it's not.
No, it's not. And I think people, it's funny, I wrote down in my notes that people like boxing movies way more than boxing, it seems, because, I mean, some fights are promoted heavily and are on pay-per-view, and they talk about them a lot, and there's just one recently. But, like, no one talks about it the next day. Hey, did you see the fight the other night? Like, they'll talk about the Super Bowl or the World Series, you know, and if you live in Canada, they'll talk about, you know, hockey night. But they won't, no one talks about boxing anymore except for boxers. So right. The fact that they can kind of keep making these, it just tells me that the films have transcended the sport completely. They have almost nothing in common with it at all. It's just, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't even know if it's in the top 10 anymore. I mean, UFC is a far bigger sport.
Yeah, well, UFC happens a lot more frequently, it seems like. There's, you know.
Well, it helps that there's just the one.
Yes, that's I was just going to say too, like there's only the one organization. Yeah. So, which I remember I mentioned this to Dad one time, but like, you know, that I knew a kid who was an amateur boxer when I was teaching at St. John's, and he would complain about how it's just like it's not organized enough. There's no single federation that controls it all, and because of that, it's really corrupt. And I was like, well, you know, UFC, I think, is better. It's like, well, just because one guy is doing all the corruption doesn't mean it's less corrupt. It just means there's fewer guys benefiting from that corruption. I'm like, oh, that's right. Probably true.
Well, yeah, I'm sure there's that in UFC. It's just, you're right. Like if someone's like, oh, there's a big boxing match. I'm like, for what? For who? Who's doing?
I think really for money at this point. That's all that boxing. Because it's sort of very straightforward in terms of gambling.
Yeah, it's like horse racing.
I would even say it's a lot simpler than horse racing. Because in horse racing, there's a field of like 10 horses. There's just two guys. One of them's going to lose. You know, and they break it down, like how many points and in which round. But
yeah, but I mean, like, how many leagues? How many matches a month, a year? I have no idea.
Well, no.
Does anybody know?
No. I mean, it's on HBO constantly.
Right, but like, which league? It's like soccer. I mean, people who are into soccer know it, but every time I watch a soccer game or it just happens to be on, I have no idea like what league it is and what the seasons are and who plays on what team, because you know, depending on where you're actually from in Europe and where you're born in Europe, you can play on different teams. I'm completely baffled as to how it works.
Yeah, I think I heard a thing.
Fans know.
Yeah, like within England, I know there's like several levels. Like entire teams will move up within. So there's like the Premier League, and then there's like the Championship League, and then there's like four of them. So
boxing is the same way. Like I don't know what's the best, and if it will be the best now, will it be the same tomorrow? Like, you know, whatever, man. I don't know.
Oh, how does, I forget to ask you, how does Drago cheat in the original Rocky IV? What is he?
He's on steroids.
Right, steroids. Okay, yeah. Yeah.
And they don't make a big deal about it, but they show him getting injected with stuff, and he's not on the level.
Yeah.
Whereas in this one, he like grabs his arm when he's not allowed to, and he punches him right in the ribs and breaks his ribs.
Yeah,
and then like I'll scream at him like, "That's a hold!" You know, you can't grab a guy like that. And because they're in Russia, he gets away with it.
Right.
And that was the one part where I was actually very disappointed. I was like, "Oh, that's annoying!" Like if he had just done it the normal way and done what I said, it would have been better.
They just made the movie I wanted them to make.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want to rank the Rocky movies?
No. No. It's Rocky 1 and the rest.
Okay, well then, what is the worst one, you would say?
Rocky 5.
Right.
That was easy. Where's my staples button? Well, let me get a pen and I'll rank them.
It's not Rocky Balboa. That's not.
Where's no, God, no. Rocky Balboa was fine. Rocky Five is a piece of garbage fire. It goes Rocky. I'm writing it down literally on the napkin. Rocky 4. Then you've got Rocky 2.
Oh, no. I disagree.
What?
No.
Are we putting Creed in here?
Oh, yeah, no, these are all part of the Rocky Spania universe.
All right. So then you've got Creed. Then you've got Rocky 2. And then you've got, I'm going to say, Creed 2, Rocky 3. Oh, wait. This is what happens when you blindside me like this. Can we just call it Rocky 6? Why do they call it Rocky Balboa? That's just annoying.
Yeah.
Okay, then it's Rocky 3. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Hadrian's Revenge. Which is a joke that never gets old. Okay, and then Creed 2, and then Rocky 5. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Boom, done.
All right, so for those of us who are not paying attention, do your list again.
Okay, it goes Rocky.
Number one.
Rocky. Okay, number two, Rocky 4. Entertaining. Number three is Creed. I thought it was pretty good. Number four is Rocky 2, which is once again about a boxer and not a boxing movie.
That's false.
Okay, Rocky... 1, 2, 3, 4. After that is Rocky 6, which is Rocky when he's an old man and he fights that younger guy. After that is Rocky 3 for its ridiculous montages. Following that is Creed 2 because I found it very dull. And down at the bottom is Rocky 5 because... we needed to buy a new car that year.
All right, so my list. Number one, Rocky. Number two, Creed, because it's just the same movie. Number three is Rocky IV, just because of the Cold War thing. That was the best part. Number four is Rocky III, because Mick dies, and that's sad. No one
Rocky III with Mr. T and,
yeah.
Thunder Lips? Are we kidding?
Thunder Lips was not the best part of that movie, but I liked that the whole thing about how like he this guy comes out of nowhere and says you're not the champ of shit, you know, you've been fighting cherry pick guys all this time, and then he has to fight this insane guy who does like chin ups in a sewer by himself to train, and it's insane. Then you have after that, you have Rocky 6 or Rocky Balboa. Then there's Rocky 2. That's it. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So 6 is Rocky 2. 7 is Creed 2. And, of course, in 8th place is Rocky 5. Yeah, Rocky 2, basically, I hate it because it's the first time they make this ridiculous mistake of just, we'll do the movie again, except this time he wins. I think people were kind of, as many people as now say that Rocky is a brilliant film because at the end he doesn't win the fight, but he wins it in his head because all he wanted to do was go the distance. I think as many people were kind of annoyed. I'm like, he doesn't win? Like, enough people had that reaction that the guys go, we can make a second one where he does win.
Well, I don't think that's the reason why it's so good.
That's why it's so bad.
I mean the first Rocky.
Oh, no, that's not the main reason, but it was such an interesting twist on the sports movie. in that he doesn't win. And it was so unique at the time to have all this lead up to this, you know, and it really kind of saves the film because, I mean, I don't know when you saw Rocky, but the beginning of that film goes on for a while. Like, it's slow in the beginning of that movie. It's, you know, takes a while to kind of get where it's going, and there are scenes that do seem to drag on forever. Mm-hmm. And really awkward family things with Paulie and Adrian. Paulie was such a bizarre guy. But I like that whenever he goes to visit Adrian's grave, Paulie's next to him. He has a little fifth of whiskey or whatever sitting there every time. But I don't know. I just, the fact that Rocky II is just, we're going to make the movie again, except this time.
Well, I think Apollo is a better character in Rocky II.
That's true. He's a bit more, a bit deeper of a character, which I have to say.
It almost becomes about him. I mean, it's more about Rocky, but he's much more of like a less of a showboating kind of guy, more of like, now I have a real reason to fight him kind of thing. Yeah. I mean, what makes the first Rocky so good is that it's not that he win. It's not that he doesn't win. It's just that, you know, he's a good person in bad situations, and the whole, I never got a chance, you know, and it's not just him that gets a chance to change, because, I mean, there's a whole scene where he asks Mickey to train him, and Mickey tells him, you're a bum, I'm never going to train you. And then when he gets a shot to fight Apollo, Mickey has to come crawling back, you know, and Rocky just lashes out at him. Yeah, and he screams at him down, you know, outside the walls of his house and everything. You know, everybody has this moment. Even Apollo in the end, when he's getting his ass kicked, and the trainer's like, this guy thinks it's a real fight, and they have like these moments in the camera work. It's, you know, and he doesn't win, but at that point, I mean, the first time I ever watched that movie, I didn't realize he didn't win, because the guy is yelling into the microphone. You can barely hear him.
Yeah.
The music is blaring, and everyone's rushing the stage. He's screaming for Adrian. And everyone's like, oh, he didn't win. I'm like, he didn't win? He's like, no, he lost by decision. I'm like, oh, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, I think my wife had the same reaction. She's like, really? He doesn't win? Like, no. It's like, she's like, oh. Like, she was kind of annoyed.
Oh, well, I mean, I didn't even realize. I mean, because it felt like a win.
Right, because that's because, so it's like she was surprised. And then I was like, yeah, but he loses. She's like, what do you mean he loses? Because it is. It's chaotic at the end there.
Yeah, I did like that about Creed 2, in that I mean, it's not realistic at all that like they can hear each other,
you know?
Even she's yelling from the seats, so like, get up. But I'm like, he couldn't hear you. I mean, but it was nice to be able to hear them instead of actually filming it in a giant arena and I can't hear anything.
You know what they could have done there and they didn't, is like in the beginning of the movie she speaks to him in sign language for a second, asks him if he had gone to the bathroom.
Yeah, I thought they'd do more of that.
Yeah, no.
It could have been a thing between them, like something special that they share, because it's usually what happens with people who are hard of hearing.
Yeah.
You know, they have that connection that most people don't have, and it's nice, like their own little language.
I was kind of surprised that, I mean, I don't know, but like the fact that she's wearing implants and that their daughter at the end of the film has implants, and if you know anything about the deaf community, it's a very polarizing issue to have the implants or not. There are people who are deaf who have children who are also deaf that you think, well, like now that the technology's advanced so far, you'd want them to hear, and they go, no, they're going to sign. Like, this is how they live their lives, and they don't. It's the only sort of community to people with a disability that is so strong and embracing of that they would, you know, shrug off advances to make them more normal, for lack of a better word. Mm-hmm. So the fact that she, you know, does sign as well as wears the implants was, I don't know, it just caught my attention. It's not like it's a thing, but it's just like, oh yeah, like I just happen to know that piece of information given what I do for a living.
She always took them off in certain scenes.
Yeah, which was interesting. Maybe for some kind of like fun misunderstandings when they, you know, she couldn't hear anything.
I thought that was odd that she would take them off, but
yeah.
Anyway.
So I was a little disappointed with this one. But
yeah, it's a bummer. Not so good. But the folks, they were cheering. Oh, my God. I couldn't believe it.
I mean, you do enjoy a boxing scene when it's on there. Like, I was interested because it was, I mean, maybe because it was such a contrast to everything else going on. And that guy was just so huge. And I was like, yeah, I'm a little interested in this. Let's watch this scene. And then it was like, but all that stuff in between. Oh, my God. I thought this movie was like 9 hours.
Yeah, it did feel really, really long.
Like, if I'd been watching this at home on my couch, I would have been on my phone most of it. That's kind of like the barometer I use for, like, how interested am I? Would I be looking at Instagram during this? Probably.
Check my screen time for the next 2 hours and see what it is.
Yeah.
Oh, 1 hour and 40 minutes. So I guess Dolph Lundgren's never going to show up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's too busy putting on a new face or whatever.
He aged appropriately, I will say. I kind of applaud them now for not getting their face pulled back to their ears.
I think he was done up a little bit. He was in a little arc on Arrow a year or two ago, and he was very good, but he didn't look as grizzled as this. They probably put more makeup on him for that.
Maybe.
Yeah, but he had, like, you know, personality. He smiled. He wasn't just this, like, talking slab of beef.
Yeah, he's actually Swedish. He's not Russian. People think he's, and he spoke a lot of Russian in the movie.
Neither was the son.
No, I think he's
like Scandinavian or something.
I want to say German, but maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, no, he's not Russian.
No, neither of them are Russian. He doesn't even look Russian. Like, Drago only looks Russian because they had him on that giant poster with the hammer and sickle in the 1980s. So you were kind of like, yeah, all right, sure, fine. But he's incredibly, like, Aryan looking. There's nothing sort of Russian looking about him. Mm. You know. Interestingly, the guy who played the main character on the TV show The Americans, who, you know, kind of looks sort of what you think of a Russian guy to look like. Kind of small and nebbishy, and turns out that he's Welsh. So, you know, who the hell knows? But anyway, if you out there want to let us know what you guys thought of Creed, you can tweet us and Instagram us at 3drinksinpod. You can email us at 3drinksinpodcast@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook. You can find our podcasts at iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radios. Click subscribe. Tell your friends. Leave a review. I forgot to mention, I think everyone should do this before, now that this podcast is over, is to go check out the fake 30 for 30 that the guys from College Humor did with ESPN. Did you ever see that?
Yeah. It's phenomenal.
It's just about the greatest 6 minutes or 9-10 minutes of film comedy I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
So
they do the Rocky.
Yeah. So great. So you should all go check that out. It's definitely worth it. It's all I can think about during the he was in dance shape, not boxing shape.
He would throw punches so hard. It was like his head would go back. They wouldn't even land. It was like the air hit him or something.
Other one, it's like, you know, Rocky was retired. You just want to stay at home with his kid and his robot.
Yeah.
Totally worth it. So, all right, everybody. As always, please drink responsibly, and we will talk to you all next time.
Yep, take care.
Bye.